blackness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III, and I am joined by the men affectionately referred to as J Squared, Mr. Jeff Reed on my left, Jason Tross on my right, and we are glad to be able to join you on another day's program. I just want to say, first and foremost, thank you so much for tuning into the program. I know you could do a lot of things. Many of you are traveling in preparation for the Christmas holidays, and you could do a lot of other things, but you have chosen to tune into this program, and I just want to tell you that I appreciate that. Some of you may not even know this. I'll give you a little bit of behind-the-scenes information. When I first joined the team at American Family Association, I had no idea I would ever be on the radio. I was hired here to do legal work, so I was perfectly content to do legal work behind the scenes, never dreamed about doing anything on the air. But as the Lord often does, he has plans that exceed your plans. And so I thought I was coming for one thing, but the Lord ended up doing a Holy Ghost-inspired switcheroo, and here I am. So I just want to tell you that I appreciate you all who choose to tune into this program. Many of you listen on a daily basis. I get tons of messages, of letters, of all sorts of things. And just because of the sheer volume of them, I'm not able to respond to every single one. But I do endeavor to read as many of them as I can. So I just want to tell you that I appreciate you and a lot of the prayer, the people that let me know that they're praying for us here in the Hamilton Corner. Man, I have to tell you, I greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate that. We appreciate it thoroughly. And by God's grace, we endeavor to continue for this program to be a service to you, allowing you to be informed of the issues of the day, but to do so from a godly perspective, from a biblical worldview. Now, having said that, I have to slide in also an introduction, a nice mild who dat for my Saints 12-2. Good win last night. Appreciate it. We'll see what happens going forward. And thirdly, the third PSA, I guess, to start the show off. You thought I forgot, but I didn't. Most of you are making your way from your part-time jobs to your full-time jobs if you're working. I just want to encourage you to do so with the full vigor, vim, and vitality that is required when you understand that the first ministry that you and I are called to is the ministry of the family, that we serve our family well. Oh, I see. Some people may not know what who dat means. As a New Orleans Saints fan, it's not just a cheer. It's reality. Let's turn to the scriptures to start the program. Today, we're going to start in the Paul's epistle to the Romans. Paul's epistle to the Romans in chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8 in chapter 5. Paul's epistle to the Romans. And this is just, man, when I was preparing for this before we came on the air, I just feel like, and I have these feelings often, I just want to gather everybody else in the corner to a table where we just, you know, we break bread together, share a meal together, and we converse about the realities of what's happening in the scripture. And that's the kind of the feeling that I have with this particular portion of scripture. So I'll read it, and then let's jump into it a little bit. All right, here we go. Romans 5, verses 1 through 8. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I want to tell you why I believe the Lord pointed me in this particular direction. And this is one of these areas where I feel it's absolutely necessary to expose the works of the wicked one. Many people, my wife and I had a conversation about this recently. Many people believe Christianity is something that should be put off for an older age. That's something you should do later on. You know, while you're young, you should be young. I remember conversations with my mom when her telling me when she became a Christian and began to change her life to align her life with the walk of a Christian, how my grandmother, before she became a believer, because my mom became a believer before my grandmother, when my grandmother would tell my mom, "You're too young for all of that." That's what she would say. "You have to live your life. Then you could do all of that later." Which is one, that is a great presumption to have that type of opinion. It's a great presumption that assumes that you're promised tomorrow. If you know the scripture, the Bible tells us no man is promised tomorrow. Who's to say what's going to happen tomorrow? And secondarily, to posit that life outside of Christ has something to offer that's better than life with Jesus Christ in Christ is just completely a misunderstanding of what life is. The other thing that I want to say that I think is critically important to note is that the enemy will never tell you today is the right time to serve the Lord. You'll never get the enemy to tell you, "All right, now is the time to give your life to Jesus." While you're young, the enemy will try to tell you, "You're too young, you're too young, you're too young, you're too young." And this applies not only for embracing the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, but this also applies to those of us who are believers, who are called to obey the Lord as he rearranges, reconfigures, restructures our life. He changes our lives. He changes our direction. He changes our trajectory. You know, I think about my own life. You know, I was a trial lawyer. I enjoyed trial work. It wasn't like I was leaving something because it was horrible. I enjoyed it. I love being in the courtroom. I love that. But the Lord had an additional plan for me. And what I'm saying is you'll never have the enemy tell you, "All right, you know what, Jason, now is the time for you to go ahead and do what God is calling you to do." No, while you're young, the enemy will tell you, "You're too young, you're too young, you're too young, you're too young, you're too young." Then when you're just about ready to obey the Lord, then it'll be like, "You're too late, you're too late, you're too late, you're too old, you're too old, you're too old." There'll never be an appropriate time from the enemy. That's why I want to tell you today is the day of salvation. If you are not a believer, today is the day of salvation. And if you are a believer, today is the day to obey the Lord. A few weeks ago, we were talking in our worship service about, if you study the scriptures, you realize that the apostles following Jesus have lived with him, witnessed his teachings and testimonies, witnessed his miracles, and expressed love for him, but did not obey the Lord's instructions concerning the Great Commission until persecution broke out. It wasn't robust love for the Lord. It was persecution that led the apostles to actually move beyond and the earliest disciples to move beyond Jerusalem sharing the gospel. And then the Bible is explicit in saying that the apostles didn't even leave. It was other disciples who left Jerusalem and began sharing the gospel earlier on in the process. Today is the day of salvation. Another lie that is often conveyed is that if you are going to come to the Lord, you have to go and get yourself together first. You know, "I'm going to come to the Lord, but let me get some time. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to go tighten up on my own. I'm going to get myself together and then I'm going to come to the Lord." Brothers and sisters, that's another lie. Because if you could get yourself together on your own, you would have done that a long time ago. No, the Bible tells us while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The Lord isn't waiting for you to go and tighten up on your own and then come to him to present yourself as spotless and now sufficiently perfected to receive the grace of God. Nah, man. The Lord wants you to just come. Come to him. The Lord knows everything about you. And this was one of the greatest testaments of unconditional love. The Lord knows everything about you. The stuff you don't post on social media. The stuff you never tell people. The Lord knows all of that about you, and he wants you anyway. He doesn't want a presentation of you. He knows the ins and the outs. He knows the failures, the successes. He knows the propensities, the proclivities. He knows all of it, and he wants you so much that he put his life on the line for it. Sent Jesus to condescend in human flesh, to taking on the form of a servant. And it still blows my mind when I consider some people, when you think about the humiliation of Jesus Christ, we think about the Via Dolorosa and Jesus being mocked and those things. But I would argue that the humiliation of Christ Jesus began at conception. When the creator of all heaven and earth, when the creator of mankind condescended to put on an earth suit, submitted himself to eliminating odor and sweat glands and growing hair and having to be potty trained and obeying parents that he created. And he did all of that, so that you and I could be a part of his family. The Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men could become sons of God. He did all of that, knowing full well just how bad we are, how far away we were, how far off we are, and nevertheless says, whosoever will, let him come. Let him come. Let him come. Today is the day of salvation. If the Lord will do what he did, then put it in his word to say, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Why would you think that the Lord is waiting on you to perfect yourself before he comes, before you come to him? No, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's a trick of the enemy. That is a deception. That is a tool to deceive. Today is the day of salvation. I know for a fact, no matter what lot you have in life, whether you are a billionaire or whether you are a hundredaire, whether you are a welfare recipient, whether you are an employer or an employee, I know for a fact that you have an eternity-sized aching in your heart to where deep down you know that you have been created for more than what you see around you. You know you have been born for more than going to work, to punching a clock, than coming home, than having a mundane routine of life. I know you know that. The Bible tells us that eternity has been set in the hearts of men. There's a God void that's in here. And that's why men give themselves to pleasure seeking and thrill seeking and goal setting and trying to accomplish all of these things, because the reality is you were made for eternity. Contrary to popular understanding, death is an interruption of what God originally created us to be. Death is the product of sin. We weren't even made to die originally. And can I tell you, there is a way. There is a way, but it's one way. But there is a way to reacquire what the Lord originally created for us to be. And that is by receiving the free gift of salvation. The free gift of salvation that comes to us by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. No matter what you may have done in your past, it's not a sufficient impediment to the grace of God that is available for you. I'm going to read this again, these last two verses. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. But one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Don't allow this day to end. Don't allow this day to end without you receiving the free grace that God has given to us, the free gift of salvation that the Lord has afforded to us and he has procured by his own blood. All that is required is for you to receive what he's done for you. Acknowledge the fact, as the scripture says is true, without Christ we are lost, without God in the world, and that we embrace the free gift that Jesus came, lived, died, and was resurrected for us.
We made a list, so check it twice. Hi, I'm Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. Before you go Christmas shopping, first find out what stores are on your naughty or nice list. For 15 years, Liberty Counsel has monitored many stores that censor Christmas and those that celebrate it. This is part of our Friend or Foe Christmas campaign to help you support companies and organizations that recognize Christmas. By the way, Walmart used to ban employees from even saying the word Christmas, but now the company embraces the Christmas season, and you will find it on the nice list. Thumbs down on stores like Dick's Sporting Goods and TJ Maxx that sell generic holiday decor. They're on the naughty list. So as you shop, support stores that acknowledge that Christmas is the birth of Jesus, not just as a winter holiday. Check out our naughty and nice list at lc.org/Christmas. That's lc.org/Christmas.
Dr. Ligon Duncan from the American Family Studios documentary, The God Who Speaks.
Paul says, remember that the sacred scriptures teach us the way of salvation, which is by faith in Christ. And in the first instance, Paul is talking about the Old Testament. So here's a New Testament letter written to a minister of the word who already knows about the word because he's been preaching the word for maybe a decade. And yet Paul is exhorting him to continue in his high view of the word and even reminding him that the Old Testament reveals salvation, which is by faith in Jesus Christ. And then in 2 Timothy 3:16, he unloads, you know, perhaps the greatest single verse in all the New Testament about the authority of Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed or breathed out of the mouth of God.
Visit thegodwhospeaks.org.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Our culture has been relentlessly feminized in the last two generations, leaving growing males uncertain about what it means to be a man in today's world. Well, Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs as a training manual for fathers to use with their sons. I have drawn on the lasting wisdom of Solomon to write my new book, The Boy to Man Book, a book on raising your son to true manhood. It's designed for a father to read with his 12-year-old son and includes a prayer a father can pray over his son at the end of each chapter. There are chapters on choosing good friends, controlling anger, how to handle pornography, how far a young man can go on a date, and how to recognize the woman he should marry. Get it today at afastore.net.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Two questions for you on the government shutdown. First, can you clarify us the current White House position towards the continuing resolution that's floating up on the Hill? Is it a demand for $1.6 billion in border wall funding, or is it supporting continuing resolution to take this matter up after the Christmas break?
You know, at this point, the Senate's thrown out a lot of ideas. We're disappointed in the fact that they've yet to actually vote on something and pass something. So when they do that, we'll make a determination on whether or not we're going to sign that. In the meantime, we're looking at every avenue available to us possible. The president's asked every one of his cabinet secretaries to look for funding that can be used to protect our borders and give the president the ability to fulfill his constitutional obligation to protect the American people by having a secure border. So we're looking at the other options. In the meantime, we'll see what the Senate does, and we'll let you know when we have an announcement on that front.
Second question.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. That was, I'm going to tell you, my all-time favorite press secretary. I mean, Sarah Huckabee Sanders is a gem. I mean, she, in my opinion, she's one of the stars of this entire Trump presidency. Because who knew that she would be able to handle the press room in that manner before she became the press secretary? Sarah Huckabee Sanders, I'm a fan. So y'all can tweet her, tell her whatever, but I'm a fan of Sarah Huckabee Sanders. But you heard her in the press room today discussing the potential for the government being shut down over the border wall funding. And what you heard her there say is that the president's administration is looking for exploring alternative means of having the president's border wall monetary numbers acquired. Now, the president is asking for $5 billion for the border wall funding, which is not the total amount, but apparently he's attempting to build it in stages and pieces as opposed to doing it all at one time. But can I tell you, I have some questions. I don't understand, and I have some ideas, but I won't speculate too much on them right now. But I don't understand why the president's administration would send out this type of tone following the what do you want to call it? The political theater that occurred last Friday, where Chuck and Nancy were brought into the room where President Trump and Mike Pence was in there. Holla, Mike Pence. Sit in the room where President Trump said, unless I get the funding that I want for border security, then I'm going to shut it down. You know, and I don't understand what is the trepidation, because the American people are with the president on this issue. This is why the president won the standoff with Chuck Schumer on the previous efforts to tussle over border funding, when Chuck Schumer tried to call the president and really the American people's bluff on the issue and realized the American people are more concerned with building a border wall and funding our government than they are with funding for illegal aliens, even if they happen to be brought here as minors in the form of the so-called Dreamers. So I don't understand why the president wouldn't maintain his line, maintain his position of saying, listen, unless I get the money that I'm demanding, then I'm going to shut it down. Now, to add insult to injury, and this is one of those things, and I mean, y'all know me, I have this penchant of paying attention to things domestically and internationally, but at the exact same time that it appears, I don't know if this is how it's going to shake out, it appears the president is open to potentially getting an amount that is lower than the $5 billion he demanded for the border wall. Well, at the same time that is happening, did you know? And I don't know if you did, but I'll just let you know. Did you know that the United States is right now, and this is all money coming from the administration, this is not the product of congressional appropriation, but this is coming from the president's administration, that we have pledged $10.6 billion in aid for Central America and Southern Mexico? So the president is trying to scrape by, not even being able to get the $5 billion. $5 billion. And folks, again, $5 billion is a pittance in terms of federal expenditures. And it's amazing to me that the Democrats' rebuttal is just to wax some type of a moral position. That's just not the right thing to do, and walls don't work. I'm like, yeah, right. Every one of you jokers have walls around your homes. Walls don't work. Then why do you live in gated communities, Nancy? You know, I mean, come on. It's ridiculous. And on top of that, the United States government gives aid to other countries to help them build walls around their country to stop illegal immigration. I mean, what? Stop with the foolishness. The only time Democrats want to wring their hands over financial expenditure seems to be when it comes to border security. You know? Oh, it's so expensive. Ooh, $25 billion. But give me $40 trillion for Medicare for All. That'll do it. I mean, it's just insane. It's insane. And I'm concerned that the president is listening to the wrong people. Who is he listening to? I said from the very beginning, the very first budget that came before President Trump, he should have vetoed it. If it funded Planned Parenthood and didn't have border wall funding, he should have vetoed it from the beginning. Why? To set the tone for his presidency. But because he kind of got outmaneuvered, the Dems were able to tie up military funding with, you know, the financial expenditures for the government as a whole. The president felt compelled to fund the military. I understand that, even though I felt like he could have took a stronger stance. And now in this particular scenario, wouldn't even be a full, all of them are the same in this regard. It's not even a full government shutdown. But in this scenario, military funding is not even a part of the issue. I think if the president's advisors are telling him to capitulate on this issue now, he is getting bad advice. Especially after the American people were ready, primed and ready to stand with the president on this shutdown after what happened Friday. I mean, the people responded to the president's declaration to Chuck and Nancy that if we don't get the border money, and he said it himself, I'm going to shut it down. But now we get in a slightly different tone, and it's just incensing. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about this aid going to Central America and Mexico $5.8 billion in aid investment is being slotted for Central America, but there's $4.8 billion in development aid that's being granted to Mexico. It kind of is a far cry away from build the wall and Mexico will pay for it. It seems like we're paying them. Because we are. $4.8 billion to Mexico, no $5 billion for the president's border wall. Folks, this is unacceptable. It's just patently unacceptable. But that's what's happening. So I just wanted to let you guys know. And I know this is, you know, holiday times, a lot of this stuff, not very many people are paying attention to. But to me, it is infuriating as well as insulting for you to tell me we don't have the money to appropriate to protect our own national sovereignty, to protect our own American sovereignty as a nation, to preserve this glorious experiment in self-government that has succeeded so much so that the overwhelming majority of all those who want to migrate to other countries in the world, they want to come here. Why? Because there's something special and something unique in America that you can't get anywhere else. I said it before, the very people that like to malign America and talk about how horrible America is are almost always the exact same people who want America to become an open borders nation. And I'm saying, wait a minute, how inconsistent and how hateful of humanity can you be if you think America is the worst nation in the world? It's a nation where you can't have any successes depending on your skin color. But at the same time, you want everybody in the world to come to America because they know that's not the case. It's just an argument that they use to try to ensnare those who are easily persuaded based on emotional appeals that are completely devoid of facts. And they use it because, quite frankly, it has been successful. That's the real truth. Moving right along. Next story, headline here. Women's March group disbands after shocking report detailing anti-Semitism. What's going on here? One of the state chapters of the Women's March organization in Washington State, they have disbanded their state chapter after, and I mean, conservative outlets have been reporting this for a very long time, but a regressive outlet called The Tablet magazine did an expose on the ties to anti-Semite Louis Farrakhan from the National Women's March Organization leaders, Linda Sarsour, Carmen Perez, and Tamika Mallory. And it's like, it's just another example, like you didn't know these people were anti-Semitic? I mean, you didn't know that? You didn't know that the Women's March people uses the Nation of Islam folks to provide security at their events? Like, you didn't know that? But I guess they didn't know that. Well, the heads of the Washington State branch of this organization said this, quote, continuing to be a part of the Women's March with the blatant bigotry they display would be breaking a promise. We can't betray our Jewish community by remaining part of this organization. This was the spokesman for the Washington State group, Angie Beam, saying this. She said she could no longer support Linda Sarsour, Carmen Perez, and Tamika Mallory because of their refusal to distance themselves from Louis Farrakhan and his anti-Semitic stances. And I just thought, it's just another example, man, of people not really knowing what they get into before they get into it. Then they get into it and it's just too deep. I'm just like, anti-Semitism is one thing, but this guy has also demonstrated himself to be anti-American. Now, why am I saying that? Well, I have a little bit of audio for you. Don't worry. I'll back up my comments to where Louis Farrakhan appearing in Iran. Yes. The same Iran that's number one state sponsor of terror. Yes. The same Iran where the Ayatollahs on a regular basis shout death to America? Yes. Listen to what Louis Farrakhan said not too long ago while appearing in Iran. Please play clip number 10.
So one who is spiritual or believers in Allah might ask the question, why is Iran suffering so much, particularly from the United States of America? Is it not true that you have called America the great Satan? Well, if you believe what you say, then would not Satan be actively involved in trying to destroy a nation that is set up on the belief and practice of submission to the will of God. So we should not be surprised at what Satan does to ill affect the righteous.
Now, what is that? That is Louis Farrakhan in Iran using Iranian translators who are translating his verbiage from English to Farsi, which is the language of the Iranians, who, by the way, do not consider themselves Arabs. That's a whole nother story. Iranians do not consider themselves Arabs. But he's telling the Iranians, America is Satan and Iran is the godly nation. Yes. So, so don't you think it would be important, in addition to the anti-Semitism, which is, of course, I've played audio. I've talked at length about how Farrakhan's comments are disgusting. I mean, let's be real. But he also hates America. How else could you describe a man going to another country saying, hey, by the way, you know, my country is Satan and your country is godly? Ridiculous. I couldn't play this for you because it was completely in Farsi. But in this exact same speech, Farrakhan led Death to America chants in Farsi. Led them. Farrakhan is jazzing up the Iranian audience, shouting and chanting Death to America. But they're just community organizing, you know. They're just using their rights to protest. They're just using their rights to protest. Nah, peeps. There are people in this country, and I know this is a hard truth for some of us to grasp. There are people in this country that hate America. There are people in this country that hate America. Well, I just wanted to let you know that there are some in this women's group, and there are others who have disavowed Linda Sarsour, even though they have not dissolved their chapters. They've disavowed all of these leaders. You have groups in Houston, Washington, D.C., Alabama, Rhode Island, Florida, Portland, Illinois, Barcelona, Spain, Canada, as well as Women's March Global. They have severed their ties with the National American Women's March organization because they find Linda Sarsour, Carmen Perez, and Tamika Mallory to be no longer palatable. So they are separating themselves from the Women's March. But I just thought it was amazing. And, you know, this is, I think a lot of these folks, they bank on the American people's ignorance. You know, they bank on us not having sufficient information, not having all of the facts, and, again, being led around by our emotions. You know, and you know people know the truth about Louis Farrakhan. For example, you know, Aretha Franklin died not too long ago. There she was posing. There Louis Farrakhan was posing with all sorts of Democrat politicians, all sorts of people. And the mainstream media, many of the publications, the Washington Post and others, they would crop Farrakhan out of the pictures. Mm-hmm. Crop him out of the pictures. Now, why would they do that? Because they know who he is. And they don't want some of their favorites to be connected to him. So instead of cropping him out of the picture, why not call on your favorites to do what you think is right? You know, that whole speaking truth to power thing? Nah, folks. Many of these regressive outlets, they only want to speak truth to power when power has an R behind its name. That's just the bottom line. That's just the bottom line. The utter lack of curiosity concerning former President Barack Obama was astounding. And now all of a sudden, well, you know, the media has to be an independent arbiter of truth. Man, it's just, if you can't tell, I'm just sick of the foolishness, man. I'm sick of it. And this is why you have, you know, alternative media outlets that are sprouting up that are doing very well. And you have to have, you know, the lion snakes at the Facebooks and the other social media places to artificially depress the frequency with which their stories are shared. Why? Because American people are hungry for truth. We're hungry for truth, but there are concerted efforts to stamp it out. One of the things I will continue to endeavor to do on this program is to speak the truth. And I will be equal opportunity employee. Just like I said, man, I think President Trump is not doing the right thing if he didn't try to shut the government down right now. But I'm not going to be a victim of the talking snakes.
80% of the time, an abortion-minded mother who views an ultrasound or sonogram of her baby will choose life. Here's the story of Candace.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
There are currently preborn centers which do not have an ultrasound machine. Would you sponsor a machine today? Dial #250 and say keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Your love could save a life.
Hi, this is Tim Wildman, president of AFA and AFR. You know, we've been on the front lines to protect Christmas, and thanks to your involvement, many stores now wish people a Merry Christmas this year. But Christmas is more than just a greeting. During Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. That little baby actually created all things and holds all things together. He's God in the flesh. But do you know why? You remember the story of Adam and Eve in the garden with the snake and the apple? Well, when they ate the forbidden fruit, sin entered the picture, and we had no hope of restoring our relationship with God, unless God would fix the problem. So he did. God became a man, lived the perfect life, died as a sacrifice for our sin, and rose again on the third day. When we believe that and put our trust in Jesus, we are saved from the condemnation of sin and are placed back into a right relationship with God. It is our hope that you really know Jesus this Christmas.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. MSNBC host Rachel Maddow took a cheap shot at Liberty University the other day.
We've got a new Justice Department spokesperson who's from Liberty University. And Liberty University is founded by a televangelist so that your Christian child wouldn't be corrupted by actual higher education. You know, and now that's the spokesperson for the Justice Department.
In reality, Liberty University is a school that thrives on debate and free speech. The university has introduced students to a diverse group of speakers, from Jimmy Carter and Bernie Sanders to President Trump and even yours truly. Compare that to many government-funded universities where conservatives are treated like enemy invaders. It's true, Liberty University is firmly rooted in Judeo-Christian philosophy, the same philosophy that is the foundation for our nation. I'd say we're better off with a Christian university that affirms the teachings of Jesus Christ than a government-funded university that affirms the teachings of Karl Marx. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. A little bit of breaking news. I have to get a bit more information on this because this is happening. While I'm on the air, the judge in Mike Flynn's sentencing case has delayed his sentencing. Pretty interesting, eh? Supposed to be sentencing, and again, the range of punishment for his alleged offense, I guess it's not alleged because he's already pled guilty now, for the crime that he's pled guilty to is from zero days in jail to 6 months. Yeah, that's the range of punishment. You know what we call that in most states across the country? That is a misdemeanor. But don't let the talking snakes tell it. They want to make you believe that it is, oh my gosh, the most, you know, it's Bonnie and Clyde, you know, it's Bugsy Siegel, you know, it's Freeway Ricky Ross, whatever one you want to call it. That's what they want you to believe. But anyway, so his sentencing has been delayed. It'll be interesting. I'll dig up some information, or dig into the information concerning the sentencing delay after the program. Now, I have another story here. This is a story out of South Carolina, Pickens, South Carolina, to be specific, that I've been having for a while, but I just hadn't been able to get to it on the program. And this is a case where you had two inmates who were incarcerated in jail in Pickens, South Carolina, but they escaped. They escaped from jail in Pickens, South Carolina, still clad in their orange jumpsuits, after attacking two prison guards The inmates, one of them is named Timothy Dill. The other was named Bruce McLaughlin, who was 30 years old. Upon escape from the jail, the two went their separate ways. Well, Mr. McLaughlin, good old Bruce McLaughlin, he made the decision during the wee early morning hours to break into a home that was relatively near the jail facility. And as I stated, still clad in his orange jumpsuit, went into the home and armed himself with a knife sharpener. In the process, he, for some reason, decided to go toward the master bedroom where there was a woman alone in her bedroom early in the morning. The woman, who her name will be concealed for the purposes of this program, she doesn't want her name to be discussed publicly. But the woman was home alone at the time. And as soon as Bruce McLaughlin, 30 years old, opened the door to her bedroom, you know, because she heard him in the house, she shot him dead. Shot him dead with one shot to his head. This woman, who had previous firearms training and possessed a concealed carry permit, when the door opened, she heard when her home was broken into. She didn't know who it was. She didn't go looking for trouble, but she said to herself, "Self, if they come in this bedroom, they're going to get a hot one." And that is exactly what happened. Immediately, the woman said when she opened the door, she saw the man who she now knows to be McLaughlin in his orange jumpsuit and immediately pulled the trigger. She had no idea that this man had just shortly before this encounter attacked prison guards, two prison guards. She had no idea that he had just escaped from prison. She had no idea that this Bruce McLaughlin was awaiting trial on burglary and grand larceny charges, which he was. All she knew is that I'm in danger. I've been trained to protect myself. And here I am. I'm going to use this. Now, I share that because, as I stated previously on previous shows, I'm really tired of the mainstream media's efforts to demonize lawful gun possession as if guns, inanimate objects, are the problem that we're facing in America. The proportion of guns to the population of America has remained unchanged since the American nation was founded. There's no higher percentage of gun possession. There are a higher percentage of guns because there's a higher population in America. But I mean, the proportion of guns to the number of citizens in America has remained the same. In America's history, you know, some of you listening to me, remember when you were in high school, you would go to school with your rifles in the back of your trucks. Some of you remember going to school, you had shooting classes at school. The problem in America is not the quantity of guns in America. The heart of America has turned rotten, and more rotten than it's been previously. The violence, the things that are happening, it's not because of guns that are available. It's because people who are wielding the guns have changed. But we don't want to deal with that because this whole idea of morality previously to the Christian was told was taboo. But now, if you are willing to rebel against God and be an outspoken advocate of that rebellion, then you can use terms like morality, sin, right, wrong, judgment, so on and so forth. it's one of those things where, okay, right, let's just think for one second. So most of the people who are the ones I'll call them the gun grabbers. Most of the gun grabbers in the country are the same people who argue that the government, and more specifically police officers, are corrupt. But these are the same folks who want the police officers to be the only one with guns. If the police are corrupt, don't you think you would want people to have guns to defend themselves against corrupt police officers? That's just too much like logic. It's too much like logic. Back to the story. Bruce McLaughlin had been in and out of the Pickens County Jail over a dozen times. As I told you, he was awaiting trial for burglary and grand larceny charges. The Pickens County Sheriff, Ron Clark, told the Associated Press that if this woman had not been armed, things would have gone terribly wrong. He says, quote, this was a big guy. If she hadn't had a weapon, there's no telling what would have happened to her. He added, I gave her a big hug and told her that I was proud of her. I mean, we have to regain some modicum of sanity in our country. You know, we cannot allow the emotions to do all the talking perpetually. You know, we have to remember, acquire some modicum of sanity. But seems like not too many people want to do that because we want to feel our way through. And old Bruce, I call him Bruce, not the comedian. Old Bruce picked the wrong house to kick in the door. Because the young lady who was there, she had something for him. Like she said, she had a hot one. And of course, I'm not rejoicing or anything like that. It's a terrible reality when somebody loses their life. But when he broke into her home, he violated the sanctuary that is her home. So he put his own life in jeopardy by doing so. More foolishness. I don't even really want to share this story with you, to be honest. I don't want to share this. I'm showing the guys the story I have in my hand. Again, can we just think with our brains for a moment here? Here's a headline for this one. 11-year-old boy dressed in drag dances at gay bar, gets dollar bills thrown at him. 11-year-old boy named Desmond Napolis was dressed in as a Gwen Stefani lookalike in full drag, makeup, a blonde wig, including a crop top, and bounced around on stage in sexually suggestive motions at a homosexual bar in Brooklyn, New York called the $3 Bill. An 11-year-old boy. The club advertised this on their social media accounts and on their websites. Desmond is amazing, performing live. This is the 11-year-old boy. This is a little boy who has been celebrated by all sorts of media outlets, the Good Morning America, for being previously a 10-year-old drag superstar, is what they were calling him. Exploiting this little boy. And again, I'm thinking about the old story, the emperor has no clothes. And we're all okay with this? So how is this not child abuse? Please someone tell me. This is sick. And the parents, Lord have mercy, that are promoting the sexualization of their son, they're saying, oh, no, it's not about money for us. Although they have a website with booking dates on their website and announcements for products that they're selling, makeup for little boys who want to dress in drag, starting a magazine for what they describe as, quote, LGBT youth. I'm not going to tell you the website. I don't even think you really want the website. And again, I understand we're in this moment in our country where, you know, everybody's coming out of the closets while they're locking the Christians back in the closet. Everybody's coming out of the closet. But just stop. Time out. Time out for a moment. Can we think for a second? Do you think, I mean, come out of this haze that is, oh, LGBTQ, oh, LGBTQ. Do you think for a second, do I even have to say this, that news media outlets, you know, Good Morning America with Michael Strahan and Robin Roberts and all these people would be celebrating, I don't know, an 11-year-old girl dressed up like, let's pick some, pick whatever one of these stars you want to pick. And it's basically doing striptease dances in a strip club before men. Hello. I don't think there will be anybody celebrating that. But because, you know, this is the moment that we're in. Folks, this is child abuse. These parents should go to jail. These club folks should go to jail. You have a child dancing at a bar in sexually suggestive manners, in a sexually suggestive manner, a child. And the attendees are throwing dollars at him. Talking about, hey, shake it. Folks, we are a sick nation. This is a sick nation. This is a sick nation. There's a story that I hadn't covered it yet on this program, but that a husband and a wife, and unfortunately they were separated, and it was a six-year-old boy. And the wife says, oh, our son is transgender, and dresses him up like a little girl when the boy is at her house, even though the boy don't want dressed up like a girl. And when the boy goes to his dad's house, the dad says, this is my son, he's a boy. And the mom tried to get Child Protective Services to deprive the father from custody of the child. Folks, this is what we're dealing with. This is what we're dealing with. This is child abuse. The parents say, oh, no, we're not in this for the money. We just want to help our children. But y'all got websites popping off and tour dates and merch. That's short for merchandise, by the way. You're selling merchandise. And the little boy, he's 11, folks, 11. The little boy says, quote, I like all the fame. I like all the fame. And helping the LGBT community fight for our rights. End quote. Our rights. This is why I say this is another example. Politics flows downstream from culture. If we don't engage people's hearts and minds, the American people will not stand godly leadership. It's no different than the example we have in Scripture from biblical Israel. It's not that God all of a sudden became a bad leader for the nation of Israel. They told him, we want a king like the rest of the nations. We want to be like them. We want to have what they have. Again, it doesn't mean that politics is unimportant. Y'all know, you're listening to the program. I talked about Trump earlier. It is important. But it's not more important than the hearts and souls of the people. It's not. There is an interplay between the two. But politics flows downstream from culture. I have another quote for you. Now, I don't want to have enough time to dig into all of this. How much time I have left, Jason? Oh, no, that's not going to be. I was going to let you guys know some foolishness from James Comey. Maybe I'll save that for you for tomorrow. Who knows? We'll see. But I'll come back to, I guess I'll share this one with you briefly, just a few seconds. Nah, I don't have time for that either. I'll leave it right there. Maybe I'll get to that tomorrow. I have all kinds of stuff to talk about. But this story with this little boy dancing at this club in New York, it disturbed me for days. An attorney friend of mine sent that story to me. And I had it before, but I reread it when he sent it to me. And I'm saying, what? Think about these things. You have parents who have been created by God to protect their children who are serving this little boy up on a platter, saying, dance, baby, dance. And you simultaneously have our society when you have women who are created to do what no man could ever do, which is to conceive, or should I say carry and deliver a child. But you have women developing a boldness and a defiant declaration that it's okay for me to kill my child. Folks, that is the epitome of defying nature. But we have the world saying to all of these things, pay no attention, this is just normal. This is just as normal as breathing, even though our very bodies tell us that you are violating something that supersedes you. Folks, we need to pray for our country desperately.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.